Here's Mary Ellen Angelscribe, author of Expect Miracles, with a Miracle Minute.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host today. And I have engaged my partner in crime, the famous and the one and only Mary Ellen Angelscribe, to be part of my program today because we wanted to really talk about synchronicities, but also talk about how we intuit and how we use our gifted ability to do that. And not just psychics. Everybody has the ability to start intuiting and to sensing knowing things. And one of the ways I tend to use my talent sometimes is in discerning if something is positive or not positive for my physical beingness or for my animals. Lately, all of us know very much about the sad news in the media about this tainted animal food that has unfortunately killed many, many animals. And it's so sad because me and Mary Ellen are cat people. We love our animals and our cats. They are our family. And for any pet owner who suffered a loss through this, it is really, really devastating. And, you know, there but by the grace of God go us. In fact, several of Mary Ellen's cats did not necessarily escape this experience. But we do have an incident we'd like to share with you. So, Mary Ellen, are you there?
Hello. It's nice to be here with you today and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about Gizmo. Tell us a little bit about Gizmo and our adventure with him.
Gizmo is a black and white Humane Society rescue kitty. I got him when he was the size of my hand, and he lay on there like a little sea otter with his little feet up in the air. He was so cute. And so he's the cutest gizmo in our house. Well, he grew up to be absolutely humongous, like a Maine Coon. He was gorgeous. He was 10 years old, and his coat was so sleepy and white, and the white was white. The black was an elegant, deep, rich black, and he was kind. So I remember thinking on Monday, this cat is so beautiful. I ought to just take him to the vet and say, this cat is what a 10-year-old healthy cat looks like. You know, he's just the epitome of health. He was dead on Thursday. And I remember when he came home, he was vomiting just horribly, and the yellow part of his eyes had gone red, and I went, this is really bad. And you went, Miriam, this is really bad.
And yeah, I happened to be visiting down there.
Yeah. And thank goodness, because there's nothing like taking your best friend with you to the vet when you're crying like crazy. And just before we took him to the vet, we had to wait like an hour for the appointment. Atira said, Mary Ellen Dom, her guide, wants you to know that Gizmo got poisoned, but it was far, far away from here. And I'm thinking, I've never seen a cat barely across the street. I've never seen him two houses down. I know he goes into our backyard and sits there. What does she mean, far, far away? It just didn't register with me. Well, how about China? Is that far enough away for you? Because shortly after, I noticed my four silver Persians, and then we have another Humane Society rescue kitty. We were fighting for their health. They just weren't doing good. Mr. E threw up every single night. He's throwing up blood. He's still losing weight. So if everybody could hold Mr. E in their prayers, I'd appreciate it.
I was there, too, Mr. E was losing his fur around his neck, which is very indicative to some kind of poisoning.
He lost all the fur on his body down to bald except his little tiny private hairs.
That's saying a lot because these are silver Persians, which have a multitude of hair. I mean, they're profuse with hair.
Yeah, they should have 6-inch fur just draping off their body, and it was thin, and you know, like when you get older. And apparently, that's indicative to kidneys not operating very well. And so,
and you're very actually alert. I mean, you give your cats like Chinese medicine, and you give them remedies, and you also are very much into a lot of healthy food. So it wasn't like you were buying the cheapest cat food in town.
We weren't buying the cheapest cat food. We were buying the Persian Royal Canin, I think it's spelled, and all the other brands. We're even buying one that was $1 a can, the Dick Van Patten's, which was since being recalled. And they went off that one the end of December. You know, you think when your cat's not eating that, oh, it's just being picky. I've got to tell you, folks, if your cat's not eating, it knows something you don't know and pay attention.
Yeah, because animals are very intuitive. They're very, very mm-hmm. smart. If you listen to Agnes Thomas, the pet psychic, she talks often about that, you know, they'll see spirit before we do sometimes, and they really do have an unknowingness. If something's not good, you know, they won't eat it, they shouldn't be.
That's right. And don't leave it down thinking, gee, I just paid good money for that. You better eat that, you bad cat, you know. And when you've got five cats who don't want to touch a can of food, there's a real strong message there. Anyway, and pretty soon everybody had diarrhea, was vomiting, and then whisper loss. In 3 days, she had this rock that was like 8 inches around her neck. She was magnificent. And 3 days later, she was bald. You could see skin.
Well, one of the important things is, too, when Mr. E, here's how we use that intuitive thing. Not only did I intuit it, that the cat, something had happened far, far away, which to us at that moment didn't mean anything. I mean, it didn't mean China to us. We couldn't figure out what far, far away meant.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get messages from your guides, it's not, this canned food's tainted from China. You know, it's not written like that. It's symbolic, or they just use the words because sometimes it's in how you ask the question, too. So that's what I want to bring to people. When you're intuiting for your animal or for yourself, you have to make sure you're asking right questions as well. And try and get more detail. And it is simply asking it in a different way sometimes.
Well, it's like a
and
puzzle.
Journal it. Keep it. Mm-hmm. Keep record of this. Because one thing for Mary Ellen, because she's a writer, she's really good at keeping kind of mental thoughts or records or pieces of information, and then they start falling together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought his body appeared hot. He was always on the tile or on a cold window, but he wouldn't be anywhere that was warm, and he stopped sleeping with us. And kind of he pulled back away from us. I thought, you know, I think he's been poisoned. And I thought, well, maybe he got some citronella that I left out. You know, that would make his organs internally hot. So I was giving him some Chinese yin chow to cool him down. And I said to you several times, I think he's been poisoned. And when you came back down another time, I thought of the charcoal. One of us thought of the charcoal.
I can't remember how it came about. It's something about charcoal. I think Dom actually came up with it, not us.
Yeah.
I think Dom said, give him charcoal.
And I have
that's
to
what
have...
you do give often for in homeopathy for poisonings.
Right. And I happen to have two bottles. I don't know why. And so
thank you, Spirit.
I held one in each hand, and Atira chose the one that had the right energy. She is the best friend, folks. And so you chose the one that worked for him. Who knows why one bottle would be better than another. That we put it down, and I thought, well, now, wait a minute. How do I get it into him? So I put some charcoal and water, and every time he threw up, I squeegee it into him because it comes in capsules. And one day after I put an eyedropper in his mouth, he kind of licked his lips, and his eyes went around like, not bad, and because I watched my cat. And so I thought, oh, wow. So we took some capsules, and I put them in a saucer down on the floor. You know, every time he threw up, he'd go and lick the charcoal. I have the cutest pictures where he's got a little tiny black mustache on his pure white face.
Well, let's go back for a minute to that kind of intuiting thing, because I really want to share how this works for me. And can I believe work for anybody? It's a matter of practicing it. You know, the first time you sit down at a grand piano, you don't know how to play it. You have to put energy into practicing. And it's the same with your gift of abilities of psychic work. And one of the ways I do for me, in my early years, I learned that by running my hand along things, it wasn't always a seeing thing in the early years. Some of it was and some of it wasn't. It depends on where I was in my own energy sometimes. So some of the times the way I would do it, and we've done this at the health food store for you, is I will actually literally run my hand along, say you wanted, what was it you wanted the other day?
Calcium. And you know, there's
calcium.
Like 28 different kinds, sizes, and brands. And then in some calcium they have magnesium. In some
they have other
calcium.
Things, yeah.
Some is vegetarian.
Right.
Oh,
so we're
overwhelmed.
Yeah. So we're standing in like I think super supplements, and I actually look at your energy, and then I kind of actually put one hand up facing Mary Ellen. So I'm checking because I'm checking for her, not myself. So I'm like in her energy field, and then I scan the shelf. And how I do that is I put my I rub my hands together, clear them. I put my palms face to the shelf, and I start running and running across it. And where it gets warm in the center of my hand, in that chakra in the center of your hand, is where I stop. And I'll pull out maybe one or two coins.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I do is have her hold them. and then whichever one is either the greenest or the hottest, feels the hottest, is the one that's right for her vibration.
And you know what's amazing?
And then you have to settle on the dosage. Then you have to figure out the dosage.
Mm-hmm. But what's amazing, and you don't even know this, Atira, I've been holding it for the right moment to tell you that we picked out one, and it turned out to be a vegetarian calcium. And when I brought it home, because we live a five-hour drive from each other, I put it beside my bed, and just then I looked down, and one had fallen onto the floor. We must have done this 5 or 6 months previous. Atira, it was the exact same bottle, same dosage, same name, same brand. It was the vegetarian brand also. So you did this out of all those calciums twice.
Spooky music, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's true. And because I've done it all my life, or a lot of my life, because really in the beginning, Dom kind of trained me to read the energy or sense the energy. If something's not good for you or bad for you, you know the energy. For you, even your daughter was very cool. Tell about Ariel shopping with you and about the veggies. I love that story because it's true.
When I found out that she was about 8 years old, when I found out that she had amazing psychic abilities, it was so funny. I'd gone to some spiritualist church somewhere because I read auras and I was all excited and new into spiritualism. And I got home and I showed Ariel the chart they drew with my auras. She says, "Mommy, your auras don't look like that." And then she proceeded to tell me exactly what they look like.
I know, leave it to a child. Out of the mouths of these indigos and rainbows, we're in trouble.
And so, shortly after I found out she could do this, we were at a fast food restaurant. She says, "Mommy, don't eat the food. It's not good." And then she takes her little hands and she's 7, 8 years old, and she channels energy down to it, and then she goes, "Quick, eat it now. It's green." The energy had become green on it.
I remember you shopping in the produce department where, though, she said, "Don't eat those vegetables."
She said all the vegetables I chose had brown energy. And so she went through, and she was choosing all the ones that had life-giving green energy.
Mm-hmm. And that's true, and that's actually how I see energy. We were talking about this not long ago because we had an incident with your husband in a photo.
You know, they're 5 hours from Cottage Grove, Oregon, up to Seattle to visit Atira. And our friend Maria Elena, who's a famous artist, had taken a picture of my husband and me when we went out to the evening where he received the Volunteer Firefighter of the Year Award. So we looked pretty spiffy. And when we got the photo, I showed it to Atira, and she looks at it, and she says, "Ooh, I don't like that mole that's on your husband's face. I don't like the energy of that at all." And I take the photo back from her, and I look. I know he has moles on his face, but you can't see it the way the glasses are, the size of the photo. And so we usually, when she says it's not good or it's going into the body, it means it could be turning into cancer. And so what we did was, first I went and I got her.
Well, first you were upset. You go, like, of all the comments you could have made, what about how good we look?
I look pretty good.
Yeah, you guys looked great.
Yeah, and I had some great jewelry on, and she had bypassed all the jewelry and got this ugly mole.
But you get distracted when you look at things. When you develop your skills, you will be drawn to whatever is the most prominent energy in anything, whether it's looking at a photo, you know, food or whatever. So it's interesting.
It shows that you are multi-dimensionally multitasking every moment of your life. You don't turn it on. I often go hear psychic speak at Hay House or wherever, and they always go, I turn it off. I've never known you to turn it off.
I do turn it down, though. There are times when I get overwhelmed. But let's go back to this mole, because it's important. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, I got a 10 magnifying mirror. I brought it over, and I looked, and Bunny could barely see the mole, but she could see the energy on this photo. And then, we made a doctor's appointment right away and had him taken in, and the doctor said he didn't like the look of it either. And when it was taken out, it was benign, but it had tentacles, like it was being fed from within his system. It wasn't a good thing to have on there after all, so...
So now let's put this in a practical context for my listeners,
sure.
Okay, because I think it's really important, because everybody thinks, oh, okay, Atira, it's only you who can do this, or, you know, people give their power away way too often, and I don't want you to. Yes, clairvoyants and people who practice this, who choose to make it their way of life, probably will pick up on things faster, okay, not always look at me, I missed, you know, your cancer.
Yeah, but you're meant to miss it.
Yeah, but, you know, so nobody's 100%. If anybody says you're 100%, they're fibbing, run like heck.
But here's 98%, folks.
But the truth is that you can do this for yourself. Say, for example, you have a mole on your face or on your hip or wherever, on your knee. And you can take your hands and rub them together, clear your energy, and set intent. Dear spirit, show me what I need to know about this. It can be anything that's going on in your body. And you will have a sense. If it gets really hot, if it, you know, ask for a sign, though, whether ask that it either get cold or hot. So you need to ask. So set intent. If it's something you need to know about, is it detrimental for your health, ask for it to get cold. Ask for it to show you an energy. And, you know, like for me, I see it as a brown ick, icky looking. Or if I see pea green on somebody's energy, I start praying for them right away because there's a problem. It's something going into the body that's not good for them. If I see brown, that's not a good thing. If I see black, you're in trouble. You better see a physician like yesterday. So those are the things that begin to work for me, and anyone can learn these things. And your colors may be different. Those are just the symbols for me over my years of practice. But the thing is, the reason I say to use it as a symbol of cold, because most of the time when you're working with doing healing, your hands will get hot. So you ask for the opposite.
There's the contrast.
Right. So, but you can scan your own self, you know, and see where you're out of sync. And you can ask your guides, ask yourself, okay, does hot mean there's something wrong, or does, you know, what does it mean? For me, I tend to like to teach my students, and in the beginning, I learned it this way, is cold for me, because heat is healing for me. So cold was, if I felt cold somewhere, or I would, I'll actually feel like, and I honest to God think it was just so dumb to get back at me, I'd feel a pinch.
Oh, funny.
Pinch in that area, you know, like somebody pinched you, but not, I'm not a painful pinch, but it's just a little twinge.
Look here.
So I would know, you know, you got to work on this area. You got to start putting energy. And then the other thing you can do is start doing healing energy. And a few years ago, we actually went to see Eric Pearl and his reconnective energy. And I go, Mary Ellen, that's the thing you do. You know, she didn't even know she did it, but she was already using that kind of reconnective energy without knowing it. I mean, you just came in with it, so.
Yeah, it is a magnetism in your hands that you can feel, like north, when you put two magnets together, it feels like that. So when you approach somebody, or like when the cat, one of my kitties that isn't feeling too good and is trying to get over the poisoning, Miss Wings has an eye infection today, so I took my hand and put one at her forehead and took the other one over her body and went down, and just by her kidneys, it felt like that north feeling. So I just sent her some energy, and she just sat there, and you know that those animals can feel that going on.
And most of the time, when you're feeling that kind of webby kind of pulley energy, you can actually clear your hands, rub them together, and put your hands facing each other, and go closer and far away. It's almost like you're pretending you're doing taffy pulling. And you'll start to feel the heat, and you'll start to feel the thickness. There'll be an atmospheric feeling change there. It's hard to describe over the radio, but you actually will start feeling it. And when you start feeling that kind of push-pull sensation, then you start feeling how far can you go. 90% of the time, it gets stronger as you move away from the body. Where when you're doing Reiki energy, it gets stronger, you know, if you stay in the
space. Well, Eric Pearl was 20 feet from somebody and still had the energy going.
Yeah. But I mean, everybody has this energy ability, this gift within themselves to draw on. Edgar Cayce talked about this, so, you know, please check www.edgarcayce.org for information on some of this use of this energy, because it's very important. You know, there's a lot of good medical intuits out there, and one of the things I think we forget, because we all want to be an Edgar Cayce, including me. we all want to be, you know, a Carolyn Meese. Well, you know, she lives and breathes and works her profession. I mean, she does really do research. She's worked with hundreds of thousands of patients. But the truth is, we can do it too every day. We can do it by being part of our community, by choosing to do this work. You know, we don't have to make a big thing of it. You can stand near someone and do healings without ever having to say a word.
That's true.
And, you know, that's really what we're supposed to do, anonymous. We're supposed to do anonymous pay it forwards.
And you can, and just praying for somebody is sending out that energy.
Absolutely.
I also want to mention Sister Mary Julia. We've been friends for like 30 years. And she would call me all excitedly because she'd say she'd be walking down some bookshelves and a book would fall over and she'd have to read it. But she would also take her hand and just like you would go down the books and not even look at them. And when her hand got hot, that's the book she'd pull out and take a look at because she felt that it was God talking to her and what she needed.
I mean, scanning and you and scanning a person or anybody is a permission thing. I always choose to ask for, you know, at a higher level, can I scan this person? Can I see things? When I was younger and I would practice, you know, I would sit on park benches and on my lunch breaks and practice, you know. And I would start, or actually in a lunchroom, I would just scan people. And, you know, I'd ask permission, I'd scan them. And then what I would do, maybe in a couple of days, I'd kind of strike up a conversation with them and then find out how on was I.
Oh, remember that man at the convention? He walked by us. We were waiting to go in. We were going to be helping at an event.
At Marion Williamson's. Yeah.
And you said, oh, that poor man. Go ahead.
Oh, his back. I said, oh, my God, that poor man's back is so bad. Oh, my God. He just walked in front of me and was like, oh, man, twinge, twinge. And then he walked about 3 feet and said, oh, my God.
He had a group of friends that he was at a convention with, and they were all standing outside the door waiting to go in. And he goes, my back is killing me.
But, you know, those kinds of things, those kinds of synchronicities or whatever they are, you know, give you a great opportunity to say, dear spirit, okay, how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously we resonate. And please know, you don't always have to feel it, take it on.
No.
You know, I think that's very important. In the beginning, I think... when you're beginning practice, people forget not to take it on because you don't want to experience the world's pain and take it with you wherever you go. It's just not a fun thing to do.
Well, we've actually had friends that have done that, and they got seriously ill.
Yeah, you can actually die. You can actually get seriously ill.
Yeah, one of mine did.
Carolyn Meese really talks in her workshops about that. Please don't practice this way. If you're a healer practicing this way, it's going to cost you and could cost you your life.
I always think of Edgar Cayce. You know, if he'd taken better care of himself and lived another 25 years, most of us listening to this program would have been able to personally met him or taken his classes.
It's true. I really wish he was around. I have to tell you, the ARE is undergoing a renaissance. They just have a new CEO, and it's Kevin Tatachi, and if you haven't ever heard of him, you should check it out. The new venture inward, the magazine's totally redone. It is so exciting. Can't stand it. Danian Brinkley and John Holland are going to be doing a workshop back there.
Oh, that'll be fun.
In July, like the 27th and through the 29th, I think. And unfortunately, I have total commitments, or I try really hard to be back there because they're fabulous.
What is their website again, Atira?
It's www.edgarcayce.org.
That's EDGARCAYCE .org.
Yep, you'll have a great time. It's worth visiting. I'm a lifetime member, and I'm appreciative of it all the time because Edgar Cayce really was my saving grace to understand I wasn't alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a great gift. So back to this cat thing too, this energy thing and seeing the things, and this reading energy of animals. Animals are one of the best things to practice on too, even though they can't tell you where it hurts, Mommy. You know, you can sense and know about animals. Animals are very, very sensitive. They'll know with the spirits in the room long before you ever pick up on it. And I really want to encourage people to use this technique and start practicing so that if you go to buy your animal food, that you can actually scan it.
Well, and that's why your cat didn't get sick.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I did buy a couple of cans, even though that were slightly green. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, you know, I don't like it. I'm not going to open them. And my husband, of course, was really frustrated.
You
paid
money on that.
But you know, it just didn't work for me. And I've learned so much to trust that. You know, because I don't want to pay the dues later. And so I'm very blessed that my cat, Mr. Perfect, who owns me, is doing quite well and quite spoiled. But for those that have lost your animals, please know we have great sympathy and love, and we just hold you in our prayers because we know how very, very difficult it is.
And the ones that are sick, I mean, every day when my kitty throws up, it's just like I worry about them every day because I felt so bad. They're inside kitties, and it's like I was personally poisoning my pets.
Well, I think everybody feels guilty because, you know, we really, you know, we are so protective of them, are of our children. You know, it's the same with using this technique with your children, you know, for scanning when your child's sick. You can scan their body, and you can also scan, is the medicine right for them?
Would you remember we did that on the cruise ship? You were really sick. It was like 3:30 in the morning. You said, do that thing that you do. So I took my hands, and I started at the top of her head, and I went down, and Atira was coughing so bad. She was so congested. We're thinking that she's got mega cold lung infection. And so I went up and down your body, and every time I got to your sinuses, my hand just came to like a screeching stop, and I sent energy there, and you said you felt better. But a couple hours later, you just really didn't feel any, you know, you were sleeping.
Well, I still had work to do. I mean, it's like you can't get off the boat and say, I'm done with the workshop, guys. I mean, I'm done with readings and things.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell them what happened when you went down to the really expensive hospital on the boat.
Thank God they have those on the ship, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I went down there, and it turned out I had a big sinus infection.
Mm-hmm.
So you were right on.
Bingo.
But the other thing that I want to mention here is it sounds like it's very easy for us, you know, and I want to be honest with you. It's work. Mary Ellen, when I first met her, was interested in all this and wanted to believe, wanted to understand, but really wasn't too developed in that. I mean, you were well-read, but I don't think you'd practiced a lot.
Nope.
And I think really our friendship, by just seeing how normal it is for me, that it became like you would trust that and you would try more and you would put more energy into trusting your own self.
I also think when we're together, it doubles the energy.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I do think that, you know, one of the important things, too, is if you can get the chance is to ask Spirit to bring 35,000-year-old friends to you because,
they're
you know
best.
What, they know the dirt on you, don't care, and your energy is in harmony. You know,
mm-hmm.
We have spiritual families, and the cool thing about a spiritual family is usually you vibrate within 6 degrees of that person, you know, or less. The closer the degree vibration, like 2 to 4, the stronger the connection, you know, that's when you get your soul sisters, you get your soul mates, you get really the inner core family of your spiritual family. And then as the degrees get wider, then those are other, you know, experiences that you have within your electromagnetic field of your spiritual family. And so sometimes what we come in with is not vibrating at all with our energy field.
I was married to him once.
but is often our karma or not. You know, that's another great thing to bring up. You know, often when people have bad marriages or have these siblings from Gehenna, we think that it's, here we're paying all this karma, or the mother-in-law from Gehenna. We think we're paying all these debts, but, you know, the truth is sometimes we just came in to give them another option.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe sometimes God said, you know, Mary Ellen, I'm going to send you to Earth. Would you go down and, like, would you give this person the opportunity to learn? And when you show up and you give them the opportunity to learn and say you really don't have karma with them, but you're giving, like, your ex-husband, you're giving him the opportunity to make a different choice,
mm-hmm.
be loving and caring and, you know, not be addicted to his whatevers.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't, for some reason, make that leap, but you give them an incredible opportunity. And trust me, if they've been married to the angel scribes, they've been given earth angel opportunities. Because Mary Ellen is one of those people that really, I mean, you have to really do something mega, mega bad, and boy, I've been on the edge a couple times, to really tick her off. I mean, she is so forgiving. It's unreal. And I wish, in a way, I was more like you in that way. Sometimes I really have to work at it. Truly, you know, when they can't make that leap of faith and we choose to bless them anyway and let them go on with whatever their journey is, I think we actually make extra paid forward on the other side.
You signed up for a duty and you came and you completed the mission and you were a teacher,
yeah.
And it, whether the student learned or not was their choice.
Exactly. And, you know, for the teachers that are listening out there, I want to say, you know, guys, you get when you have done everything you know how to do and you've given those students the opportunities and they choose not to excel, that is not your problem. That
mm-hmm.
is not your mistake. Sometimes people just have different ways of learning. And so I think sometimes we, teachers and nurses and doctors and things like that, really get caught, parents even get caught up in beating themselves up. sometimes, again, you are just there to facilitate and give them every opportunity. But at some point, that is still that soul's journey.
And they might
not
be on the journey.
And you didn't always fail. I deal with more parents that think they have failed. It's really absolutely discouraging.
It could be the children on a different journey than you think. I was watching a show the other day, and everybody thinks this person's off to be an attorney, but really they were supposed to have a different career. And so what they learned wasn't what they needed for where they were going.
Well, that's why often it's really interesting that people will get almost to the end of getting their degree and want to change fields.
Oh, my gosh. You've had that people calling you asking, their last term as a doctor or an attorney or an engineer.
I know. And
they hate it.
I know.
We're like, uh-oh.
And they're going, like, now what? You know, but sometimes it was a journey to get to that point where will you make a leap of faith? Because it's very hard to say, like, at the end of, 20 years almost for a doctor, but, and to say, guess what, I'm not cut out for this. This can't happen. I need to do it in a different way.
Yes, you don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to join the Peace Corps or do something else where that training will come in handy in their new avenue that they're going to be traveling?
It's true. If, for instance, really interesting to me, my doctor that I go to actually started out as a nurse, which, thank God, because guess what, he's really nice to his nurses.
Mm-hmm.
But he started out as a nurse, wound up going traveling Africa and Egypt and things. Found out that he really thought he was just a nurse. If he was a doctor, he could have done much more good. And so came back and later in life started and became a doctor.
Oh, my gosh, what an angel.
Yeah, earth angel. And so I'm so blessed to have someone who really, is really who he needs to be.
I don't think I can handle all those exams the medical people go through.
Well, I really love him because he's really spiritual, too. He's not metaphysical because he's like, when I was manifested blood pressure, biofeedback, you can't go down there. But when I explained to him what my belief in it was, and he goes, I could maybe be open to that. So, you never know how you're going to change a person until you show up. And it may not always look like we think it should look. That's the big thing about it, that we forget we're co-creators and that God might just have another opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So the synchronicities and how things work. So one of the things that we were really wanting to get across to people today is that everybody can do healing, self-healing, healing on their animals. And this whole thing with the animals that just happened is a way for us to be more spiritually responsible, to try and know, intuit, feel, trust, and pay attention to the instincts of our animals and loved ones.
Even
kids. I mean, if a kid mm-hmm. doesn't like something or doesn't like somebody and doesn't want to hang around somebody, pay attention to that. I mean, a lot of child molestation would not happen if we listened to that.
That's true. Hey, I was thinking, with the pet food poisoning, I'd like to give some people who are listening maybe some tips that if they can use for their animals to help restore their health or for their friends.
Okay, but we're not prescribing.
We're not prescribing.
We're giving information that you are personally responsible for doing your own research, checking with your own vet and or naturopath provider.
Right. This is just what we're doing in our house.
Wait a minute. Is there a website, though, that lists, all the pet food that's been recalled?
Yes, if they go to the FDA, I don't know if it's .org or .com, but the Food and Drug Administration
website.
Yeah.
Good.
They post it every day, and oh my gosh, today there was another one. So out of all the five manufacturers that were buying from this certain company in China, four have been totally recalled now. And it's like, even if your store, you say your Safeway or Super Value or whatever, has a sign up that said these are the recalled ones. Still, when you get home, take that can and double check it. Type it into the internet.
I encourage you to type it in before you go and take the list with you.
There you go.
That's the best way. Forewarned, forearmed.
Yeah, let's say it's cat food, glamour food. If you type that in the word recall, it will come up if it's recalled, and people have talked about it on the internet. It's been posted on the internet, so you will know. But you can't, because we bought a brand of food in the health food store the other day, natural brand. Gave it to our cats. 3 days later, they're back
on the recall list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really have to, like, intuit. You have to, like, take as much mundane information as you can with you. But then, again, use the scanning method. It really does work.
Mm-hmm. So what we're doing in our house to help rejuvenate our cats, according to this Chinese herbalist, he said if you give them, now this isn't cooked, this is raw.
I cannot get my cat to eat broccoli, darling.
You have to cut it really itty-bitty fine.
I cut it really bitty-bitty-bitty small.
And not too much. They like, say what, when you first do it? But raw tuna and raw chicken, and you cut it fine. And it's better to cut it on a piece of paper, something you can throw out so you don't have a chance of E. coli in your kitchen. Mm. And you don't leave it out overnight. If they don't eat it within an hour, you put it back in the fridge. But he recommended to our cats to put water on top because they're dehydrated. And a little bit of sea salt, not table salt, but sea salt, because they're lacking in minerals. And so what happens when they drink that water, they're more likely to hold on to it instead of urinating it out because all the animals that are having the kidney problems are over-urinating.
Well, it's really interesting, too, because for a while, when you first got Miss Wink, or even into quite a while afterwards, she was having kidney problems.
Mm-hmm.
She would, like, not use the litter box.
Well, that's when she was
not nice.
Yeah, but that's when she was neutered. They did this new fast technique, and they don't put them all the way down. And she had so much scar tissue; it was pulling on her bladder.
And you actually took her to a
chiropractor.
Chiropractor. That was very cool. Yeah.
And she worked out the scar tissue, so that means maybe that would work on people too. But I also want to mention with the cat food, they've got to put in little tiny pieces of chopped broccoli or Swiss chard. No peas or carrots, because he says they are hot. They're sweet for the animals.
And
the tail. They actually like kale.
Go figure, because I don't.
Me neither. But I'm going to plant some in the garden for them for this winter. So hopefully that'll help some people out there.
Yeah. So we really wanted to come today to really give you some tips on how to intuit for your own self, to also to trust that, you know, even when you're buying vitamins for yourself, I think it's really important to hold the body. One of the things I think is very good is actually to put that in your hand and hold it into your solar plex. Because I found out the solar plex is the center of that. And if when I was younger, in particular, it's like if I couldn't get it when I was holding my hands out in the air, if I held it and put it in my right hand, I don't know if everybody's different. For me, I would put the object in my right hand and put it on my solar plexus and then put my left hand over it. And then I would kind of get quiet and centered, and then I would know or get a hit about it. A hit meaning, okay, this feels good. No, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't, you know, I get dizzy. I lose focus. Oh, this one I'm okay with. So in a way, it's spiritual kinesiology, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, did Dom teach you that like he did with the crayons?
Yeah. It really is how he just, you know, he just always would say, it was a game. See, I mean, really, it took me a long time, actually until I was in my 20s and read Edgar Casey, that I really got, oh my God, all this time I was playing this game I thought was a game.
You were going to, like, spiritual Hogwarts.
my own invention of spiritual Hogwarts.
Yeah, but you had your own professor who you listened to and went around with you and taught you every day.
Yeah, there's a wonderful book, and I apologize, I don't have the name of it, that I just read that's by a psychologist that's now working with these young kids, and it talks about a lot of similar things like invisible friends, not to take away kids' invisible friends and so forth and so on, and how devastating it can be and how fearful it is for them because they have separation anxiety because of it.
Well, you're going to have her on your show.
I am. I'm excited, and I apologize. I don't have the name right in front of me, but I'm hoping to have her in the next few weeks on my show. You know, and as I was reading this book, I was thinking, dear God, where was this person in this book when I was a kid? You know, because we have come so far.
We have publishers, Akira, who have published books like that before. We've got Beyond Word Publishing, Hay House.
Illuminary Arts.
Right, Anna.
I love Illuminary Arts for kids. Oh, my gosh, she's so fabulous.
Mm-hmm. They're the best.
Some of the most beautiful, really, truly, you hold your breath when you look at the artwork in some of his
mm-hmm.
books.
And it's, I believe it's illumin.com, illum.com, but Illumination Arts. If you've got children, please write that name down and go check out their books. Each book has a spiritual, positive message for self-confidence. And the artistry in the books is amazing.
And also Ted Andrews' books. He has a set of books, I think 10 books out for In-Person School of Magic and Mystery. And he's been in the field of metaphysics for a very long time. And I love those books. I've actually given a lot of them, like The Magic of Believing and stuff like that, to a lot of kids. And if you're a teacher and, you know, get the opportunity to have this kind of books around your kid, the kids, one of the things we were listening to last night that really struck home for me, because, of course, I've been involved with orphanages and street children for over 21 years now, almost 25, I guess, now in Egypt. So we were watching American Idol. Who wasn't, you know? And they were doing this where they give back. And one of the things that struck me, which I adore them for, is they talked about the poverty level and the ignorance in America. And when they were talking about the Appalachians and parts of Kentucky, where there is still, you know, poor people and people in schools that don't have books,
mm-hmm.
I really have to say I would love to see a book drive done. Libraries throw out millions of books a year.
Actually,
they cull them and they have book sales, and then they, you know, get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see us do something where we absolutely facilitate the books being sent to these rural areas, and even form in our communities ways to raise money, because books are heavy, that they could be sent to these rural areas.
Oh, then
areas,
they can buy their own.
You know?
But one thing I do to contribute, we live in a small logging town. It used to have 7 open mills, and they've closed them all down except for like half and half of two. When I'm up in Tacoma in Seattle and I go garage shopping with my friend Sid, and I see a bunch of books or children's books or interesting books, I'll ask if they will donate those to a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what, Tara? Most of them just give me bunches of books. I came back once and I had to use the pickup. The entire bottom of the pickup for 2 levels was full of books, stacked full of books.
And what was wonderful, because your town had actually just facilitated a new library. I remember that. We were there with the – I love this town. You got to love this town, I'm telling you. They had a little, a really small library. It was, I mean, really a one-room kind of thing. And they built a new one and a community center. And they actually had this bizarre thing they did. I loved it. They stopped traffic in the town, and they made a chain of people, and people literally passed the books along this chain to the new library. Rather than putting them in boxes and trying to haul them, we actually did, you know, that thing where you pass it on.
It was so fun.
It was in Cottage Grove, and I loved it so much.
It saved gasoline, too, because it...
Well, and you got to know the whole town. It
yes.
was wonderful. And then everybody went over and helped arrange things. And, oh, my God, I had so much fun. It was great.
I think it took us about an hour and a half going, like, when is it, a fire brigade?
And the problem is you can't stop and read the books. It screws the line up.
Oh, you could hear everybody up and down the line up. That's a good one. This is a good one. I've got to read that one.
So, and it was wonderful. It was a great experience.
Kids in strollers, and then there's people in their 80s. And Maria Lane actually drew a picture of that and put it up into the children's section of the library.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But it just shows how everybody's important. You're all a part of the chain of life. Everybody can make a difference in someone's life.
And everything like that is a magic memory.
Mm-hmm.
It is true. So the other thing we want to talk about today is also being able to take our intuitive or psychic ability to different levels. And that certainly has happened as we have been friends more and more. I mean, I have to tell you, it's almost hysterical. If I think I'm going to call Mary Ellen, trust me, the phone will ring now.
Oh, that's so funny. Just the other day, I went to pick up the telephone because I wanted to call you, and I'm holding it, and I haven't flipped it open, and it rings in my hand, and it's you. We do that all the time.
And we do remote, you've heard of remote viewing, but we do remote shopping.
Oh, tell them about, that too, but tell them about the time that you wanted me to call you and we were in a hotel and you couldn't get down to the convention center and you told your friend, oh, I need Mary Ellen to call me, and go ahead.
I don't remember that.
Well, you were with, we were with Brenda.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I just said I really need Mary Ellen to call me, and so, you know, I actually didn't even send Dom. I don't know why I didn't, but I did it like, okay, Mary Ellen, call me. And it was just like, boom, you were...
And she didn't believe you. She says, well, how are you going to do that? Because the phones don't work down there.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I know it. I didn't phone you. I literally...
You actually came back.
Yes, I walked in the door.
But, yeah, because we were in one of those convention centers where cell phones don't work. And it was literally within maybe 3 or 5 minutes that you walked in the door, and she goes, okay, that's spooky.
That's, oh, spooky. 11:11 is a sign that the angels are with you.
Well, the clock just turned 4:44.
Ooh, and you're on your divine path of life. And so yesterday I got one of those walk meters where you walk your steps, because Dr. Oz, who's on Oprah today, says you need to walk 10,000 steps a day. So I thought I wanted to just see how much I'm not walking. So I put on the pedometer and headed out, and I just had this feeling to snap it open and look down at it, and it read 1,111 steps. If I had walked one more step or one short, it wouldn't have done that. But what are the odds? When I got home, it was like 2,640 steps, the whole walk that I did. But to open it at 1,111, it's like, man, I wish I could go to a gambling casino and have that kind of luck.
Don't you?
This is spiritual luck to remind you. Can I remember the time I was at Captain Ed Jarvis's funeral? And everybody was just feeling so heavy, and I was taking photos of the ceremony. And
because it was a firefighter.
Yeah.
Let's clarify. She doesn't go around taking pictures at funerals.
Oh, that does sound bad, doesn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Let's clarify.
The official photographer extraordinaire for the fire department. Anyway, so I'm taking photos to document the history of the event, and I looked down at my pedometer at a different one then, and it read 444 steps since I'd been up that morning.
Which is angelic. We consider that angelic
yes.
number.
And so I knew he was speaking to us then. And signs, because butterflies are signs of the people of past.
Butterflies are signs. Dragonflies, Bert, our wonderful friend in California, dragonflies are a big significance
mm-hmm.
for his mother's passing. Feathers, I think you know, spirit will use all these extraordinary means to make us lighten up and raise our energy, especially in grief. Because, you know, I'm going to talk about that for a minute, but I want to go back to remote viewing in a minute, Mary Ellen.
Or remote shopping.
Yeah,
that's the best.
We get sidetracked. But, you know, when you're grieving for the loss of someone, remember that grief brings your energy down. You know, you get depressed, you get lethargic, you get overwhelmed by everything in life. And it does lower your vibration. And then people get very upset while they're saying, well, why has my loved one come to me? Why haven't I gotten a sign? Well, you know, it's hard for them to get into that kind of energy because they're just on the other side learning to understand and accept the new vibration. And so for them to kind of try and sink back into the heaviness of the
mm-hmm.
earth plane alone
and grief.
Must less your grief.
Yeah.
It takes them down. So if you want contact, one of the things you need to do is think of all the things you love about that person. Think about that person's laugh. And I'm sorry, I can't really remember. Oh, Seth, who's our technician today in bbsradio.com, has a great laugh. So you want to remember things like that, the laugh, the joy, the things that are extraordinary about that person, because that will begin to raise your vibration and make communication easier. So that's another tip for today, to try and get into that state instead of the drama of what has gone wrong, but how is this a gift, and how can I facilitate helping them on the other side? And one is to send love, to send joy, to send prayers. Raise all those things, raise our vibration, vibration, and bring us closer into the contact of spirit.
That's a really good tip, because when you're in grief, you don't even like being in your own body.
Mm-hmm.
Why would somebody
else want to
get
close? And it's really hard, guys. I'm not saying it's easy, because nobody was nastier and more wanky than me when I lost my mother.
Yeah,
you know,
so
it was like, screw that metaphysical stuff right now, you know, because we're human. You know, we're going to miss them when we lose the touch and their love and everything about them. And so we have to know, you know, and it's part of the grieving process, you know, the anger, denial, bargaining, and then acceptance. You know, anyone who's grieving, I really highly recommend James Van Praagh's Healing Grief or any of Kobler-Ross's work. Both of those are absolutely significantly a blessing when you're going through the terminally ill person's life or in the transition of that person. It will help you in a million ways. So back to remote viewing. A lot of people know about remote viewing. It's where you get a piece of paper and you close your eyes and you get quiet and you send your consciousness, say, to let's go to the ARE in Virginia Beach, and you will get then visions or be able to draw at perhaps the building, or you get a smell, or you'll see a person. Edgar Casey would send his consciousness out, and he would say, we have the body here, and he would tell you what color wallpaper was on their wall. Or he would tell you if they weren't where they were supposed to be, and that they went shopping three doors down, bought a cigar, and so forth and so on. So what happens with Mary Ellen and I of late is our new adventure is we sort of are doing remote shopping.
Oh, it's so fun. Because, you know, when you go shopping, you want to take your best friend, and it's really lonely to go shopping by yourself or treasure hunting. But we've perfected it to a whole new level.
Well, we all also have a new rule because we are so blessed with some wonderful things. In particular, we're jewelry-holics, we admit it. And so we don't really buy jewelry anymore, and it has to be, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it has to be a 44.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with a lot of our clothing and stuff. So we don't really, you know, we're not people who are shopaholics at all. It has to be something, you know, we're pretty sure is really awesomely unique. So the other day she was shopping. She knew that I like a certain kind of clothing. And she called and said, I think there's this, you know, one type that would go with the outfit you had. And so I just shut my eyes and I could see it. She handed me the sales clerk, and I go, oh, yeah, you know, and what color, what size and everything, how the sleeve looked and everything. And so she bought it for me. Thank you, Earth Angel.
You're most welcome.
And then you called me yesterday, and?
Well, no, while I was standing there. And
oh, I called you.
No, that too. But no, with the first outfit that we bought, while you're talking to the sales clerk, I look over, and there's a dress in my size, my color, and the style I love. But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, but I think that they made the armhole so big that it wouldn't look too feminine on. And so what happened was she passes the phone back to me when she's done talking to you. And I says, I'm looking at a dress. And you go, oh, no, that's wrong for you. That won't work. And I'm like, wow, that just saved me a whole trip back to the change rooms to try it on.
Yeah, sometimes I guess I don't let you express yourself. Sorry.
But yesterday when I was out shopping and you called and I was with a friend and I was kind of bored because she was treasure hunting and I was just, you know, looking. It's much cheaper to look. And all of a sudden I see this pink, which attracted my attention, the fluorescent pink, and I walked over to it. And it's a silk jacket, and I put it on, and it was like some designer in New York had made it specifically for me. And it was $80, marked down to $29, and in Oregon's no tax, so that was a good deal. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm buying it because I'm saving money. I don't need it. And you phoned, and you said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm standing here looking at this pink jacket. And you said, oh, you need to buy that. You wear it all the time. And now, when most girlfriends say that, they're helping each other spend money, but with a tear, you know she means it. So I had a sweater on that I have with angels on it. It's kind of, it has a lot of polyester in it, so it's not that warm, it's just really cute. So when I bought the jacket, I took off my sweater, and this jacket that's silk is lighter, it's pretty, it's happy, and it stops the wind and air conditioning. I love it so much. It's like my signature piece, so thank you for shopping with me, Atira.
Yeah, so, you know, practice this with your friends. That's the one thing I want to say that, you know, Mary Ellen and I are pretty good at because we've been friends for a long time, this lifetime and other lifetimes. So we've become in sync because our energy, you know, I mean, I talk to her 1,000 times a day because she does do my bookings and everything. And if you're interested in things like that, please check our website at www.angelscribe.com. I forget to do my own commercials. So
and your newsletter. I do your newsletter,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
and
so we're in contact a lot of times during the day. So the thing that I want to mention here is practice this with your girlfriend. Practice it before when the phone rings. You know, intuit. Is it a telemarketer or is it, you know, so-and-so? Do you feel somebody's energy?
Do you feel it? I feel it in my heart center. Oh, no, wait. I'm feeling my body. Kind of like where your rib cage is, right in that little divide area between them.
Some people feel it in their heart chakra, in their sternum, or in their solar plex. So
Everybody
has their own, you know, barometer, I call it. So, you know, check it out, practice it. And I encourage my class. I'm teaching this wonderful class now. I'm really enjoying it, a development class at the Spiritualist Church in Camp Edgewood, Washington. And the really interesting thing is is that the students are really getting the understanding now of what it is to practice and making it fun. You know, like they are calling each other and say, what am I holding? You know? Each other. And so, oh, you're holding a pen. Oh, you're holding glasses. Oh, you're holding, you know, whatever. So those kinds of things, those experiences of practicing. And we can do it in every way, even when you go into work in the morning. You know, you don't have to have a lot of people that are involved in your experience of practicing and learning this. You can sense, what is the sense of the boss today? What is the sense of the employees today? And how can I change that?
You know, one thing I noticed when I was going to work, I'd show up on Tuesday and we're all in red. Show up on Wednesday, we're all in blue. Show up on Thursday, we're all in green.
Yeah, you think your mom dressed you, huh?
It's like we all phoned each other.
Yeah. So that happens to us often, too, when we're wearing the same color and things. But truly, practice is the key to development. And forming groups, I just talked to a client yesterday, and her and some of her friends have formed a little group, and they're starting to read books and study and things. And do this practice, and I told her it's important to do it. I used to, when I was younger, be fascinated by antiques.
From the energy of the material?
Because I'd love to go in the antique shop and feel stuff.
Oh, I remember I have a jewelry piece that's antique from my grandmother who got it from her best friend.
I love it.
Well, yeah. And this one piece I could never, ever wear, and you'd never seen it. So when Atira came down one time, I said, what do you pick up on this? Thinking she'd think it was my grandmother's, not knowing it could come from this other lady. And you went, oh, my gosh. You felt such sadness with it. Well, the lady who it had come from had been married to a doctor, and they'd been soulmates, not had any children. She was devastated when he died. And that's why I could never wear that jewelry, because the sadness overwhelmed me. I put it on, and I couldn't even wait a minute and a half and have to take it off.
And you can clear energies of jewelry like that. One of the best ways is to put them in this windowsill for moonlight. Let moonlight hit them. I don't like to put jewelry in salt water too much because sometimes it damages it. Some jewelry, some stones will take it, some won't. I also don't like to use sunlight because sometimes it affects stones too. So moonlight's the best. Or you can actually get some very nice soft dirt. Put it in a pot in the house so nobody runs off.
What about some sand, like some really yummy sand from the beach?
Well,
let's go to Hawaii and get some sand.
Yeah, let's go to Hawaii and get some sand. Angel Cruise. Isn't it time for Angel Cruise? Point that finger again. But no, truly, I don't like to use sand because it can scratch stones.
Oh.
So okay. You have to be careful even with the dirt.
Oh, yes, sandpaper.
You know, or wrap the stone in tissue paper and then put it in the dirt or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but clearing the energy. Sometimes you can do it by just, you know, holding it and then shaking off the energy. But some metals and stones really hang on to it. So we're almost out of time, Mary Ellen. I've enjoyed it so much.
Oh,
thank you
fun.
So much for sharing our journey together and for illuminating people and their pets today. Because, you know, really, truly, animals are our passion. Our cats in particular, we love them. Please, please, spay and neuter. Because you know what? I would have been devastated when Mary Ellen rescued Mr. Perfect for me. He was on death row and really would have actually been put down, I think, in the next day, next day or so. So I thank Spirit for guiding you there, you and Sid, in rescuing my precious Mr. Perfect.
Well, I live in Oregon. We picked him up in Tacoma, and you live in Seattle. What are the odds of that?
Right. And I was in grief over my Miss Mushmush, who was unfortunately taken by coyote. Please also, pet owners, pay attention to your neighborhood. You know, I've lived where I have almost 30 years. Trust me, it changes. As our environment is being encroached by the developments, so are we losing the native habitat. So thank you so much for listening. Remember to let your heart shine. I can't even talk.
Put it out.
Remember to let your heart light shine. Light your way and way for others, and to stay wrapped in the wings of angels until we meet again. Lots of angel blessings. Bye-bye.
Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles and the Angels and Miracles Good Newsletter, can be found at angelscribe.com.